Potter. Mr. Andrews?
Will please report, Mr. Savage, Mr. Walsh. The court below granted summary judgment of Mrs. Plaintiff in this case because she allegedly could not make out a prima facie case of age discrimination and retaliation. The sole reason being given as to both by the court below was that she failed to meet the legitimate expectations of her employer. That finding simply cannot stand against the evidence that was presented. The argument is bottom for the most part on the fact that my client admitted that she was behind the timeline that had been desired for the work completion. However, the record makes it clear that the entire unit that she worked in was behind the timelines that were desired. So her being behind the timeline was in no one different than any of her co-workers, and obviously couldn't be considered failing to meet legitimate expectations if no other co-worker was meeting the same expectations. She was assigned the work of younger employees that had already been late. And as a result, obviously, if you assign late work to someone, then obviously their work is going to be late. In addition, her work was sabotaged by giving her a heavier workload than her co-workers. So she had more cases to work on, which would obviously affect her performance. And her co-workers didn't have to work all three tours, which is what she did have to do. Clearly, then, my client could make the point to a reasonable jury, and a reasonable jury could find that her any performance deficiencies that she suffered were shared by her co-workers and was the result of sabotage by the very supervisor she claims discriminated and retaliated against her. That being the case, then, like the Williamson versus Handy Button case, you can't impose unreasonable requirements of cause performance deficiencies and then rely on those performance deficiencies to destroy someone's case. My client was transferred from the offending unit, or the unit of the offending supervisor, to another unit, 3 hours away. But even after that, she continued to receive work from that same supervisor. And the record makes it clear that the work that she received then was disorganized and included late work. She was then blamed, even though the record makes it clear that the offense was that of her supervisor who sent her these bad records. My client was commended over her entire career. She was an EEO worker of some sort, counsel investigator or something, for over 20 years. She received numerous merit increases, numerous cash awards, up until the year 2001 when she retired. So to argue that she had performance deficiencies certainly is something that a reasonable jury could make a different determination of. In addition, no proposed removal was made against her, nor was she removed because of any performance deficiencies. She retired. And she retired because, frankly, she got fed up with the stressful position that she kept being placed on. So the record makes it clear
that it was the onset of she claims there were problems. What started the problems?
Well, she began to be supervised by a supervisor by the name of Yvonne Coleman. I think that was about 1991. Yvonne Coleman used to tell her, she was the most senior of all of the EEO workers, and used to tell her that, well, just because you have worked here for 30 years or whatever the case may be, doesn't mean that, you know, your work is any better than anybody else. I forget the exact words that she used, but she began castigating her and drawing attention to the fact that she was in a senior status from her other workers. She began to yell at her. She began to give her different assignments, and this continued on all the way up to her retirement in 2001, even though she transferred to another unit. So the offense, so to speak, came about when she began to be supervised by this Yvonne Coleman. Prior to that, she had no problems. She's an EEO worker herself. She has never filed an EEO complaint prior to that time. She never had any issues prior to that time. Only under Ms. Coleman's supervision and Ms. Coleman's interference, even when she was transferred to another supervisor, did she have these issues. And again, the only issue brought to bear by the court below as the reason for granting summary judgment was the fact that she supposedly did not perform up to the legitimate expectations of her employer. The record simply cannot support that assertion. For that reason, since a reasonable jury could in fact find that she did meet the legitimate expectations of her employer, summary judgment was inappropriate here, and this case must be reversed.
Thank you, Mr.
I reserve the balance of my time for you.
Mr. Talbert?
Please, the court, Mr. Andre. Simply put, Ms. Griffin is not entitled to a trial. She presented no evidence on summary judgment to show that the Postal Service's reasons for the action it took were a pretext for discrimination. The service's audit of Ms. Griffin and her unit showed that service employees having complaints of discrimination and retaliation were not getting the EEO services the law requires. For example, some complainants were not even counseled. Many cases were not resolved within the Postal Service's guidelines or the regulatory requirements. Many case files could not be found by the auditors because Ms. Griffin and the rest of her unit were not using a mandatory case tracking system. It's clear that Ms. Griffin was a poor performer. She admitted to every reason given by the Postal Service for her unsatisfactory evaluations and transfer. She admitted that she did not meet the case line or deadline time frames for investigating and resolving EEO administrative complaints for a period of about 4 years. She admitted that her unsatisfactory evaluations were given and they were accurate. She admitted that her transfer to the area office was a result of the service's reorganization of her unit and also to improve her working conditions, which it did, and she still could not measure up. How did it improve her working conditions? Well, according to Ms. Griffin, she was not criticized by her supervisors. She did not have to work overtime. She did not have to work with someone she didn't like. She was at her mid-year evaluation in 2001, told exactly what she must do to improve her performance, which was organize her case files and process the complaints that she was given within the required deadline.
Was that a problem with all the people in that unit? That is, it late? And the other problems you mentioned?
Your Honor, there's nothing in the record raised by Ms. Griffin which shows that, other than the results of the audit in 1997.
What did the audit show?
What I just explained, that cases were not being resolved within the required time frames. The mandatory tracking system was
no other people besides her were also late in processing claims.
Yes, sir. Moreover, Ms. Griffin admits that she was part and parcel of this shoddy effort both before and after the audit and her transfer. Finally, she presented no evidence on summary judgment that the Postal Service did not believe the reasons that it took, or the reasons for the actions that it took. And consequently, she cannot avoid summary judgment on both her claims. If there are no further questions, we ask that you affirm the judgment of the District Court.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Talbert. Mr. Andrew, how much time do we have? 1 minute, 2 minutes?
Counsel makes the assertion that the unsatisfactory evaluations were accurate and that Ms. Griffin agreed with that. There's nothing in the record that indicates that she agreed that she was doing unsatisfactory work. She simply agreed that that was the evaluation that was given. Moreover, as Judge Kaney appropriately asked and the response was accurately given by Mr. Talbert, everybody in the unit was having these deficiencies. The audit was of the unit, it wasn't of Doris Griffin. So she was no less deficient in her performance than all her coworkers were. In addition, even though she was transferred to a new unit, the observations of her supervisor at that unit, which I have on page 8.
Why do you think she was singled out?
I think she was singled out because, again, she was a senior person. This is what she was told by the supervisor, that she wasn't going to get any special treatment because she was a senior person. This is the only thing that seemed to be important to the supervisor, that she, in fact, was a senior person. And then, after filing complaints, then she obviously was apparently upset with the fact that she filed complaints of discrimination against her. But even if we look at the remarks that were made by her supervisor after the transfer, on page 8 of my brief, I outlined where it says one of the main problems has been when she received green files from the district, they have not been properly tabbed, and she has had to reorganize these files, which took time away from her doing investigations. And in a memo from this new supervisor, it says that, in my opinion, the meeting was quite overdue, and after talking to Doris, she felt that we gave her plenty of ideas to assist her in the completion of her investigations. The main problem was that Doris was not getting too much cooperation from the managers. One of the main problems was when Doris received the green file from Yvonne's department, that's Yvonne Coleman, they would just place everything in the green file without any organization, and Doris would have to take the time to put them in order. Clearly, although Mr. Talbert makes very clever arguments, they're just that, they're arguments. The evidence in this case would allow a reasonable jury to find for my client. For that reason, summary judgment was inappropriate, and we ask that the decision below be reversed.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Andrew and Mr. Talbert.